So as I speak behind me on the screen, you will see a chronology, a kind of political chronology of what happened in Kashmir since, I would say, 1951, because that is the relevant date. Because that is when Sheikh Abdullah became Prime Minister, not Chief Minister, Prime Minister of Kashmir, for the first time, the first Kashmiri leader to take over power. Now, we can look at the Kashmiri story in many different ways. Let me try and again do it in, say, 4 points. One, number one consistent strand in the history of Kashmir is that while every government in Delhi has needed a partner in Kashmir, no government in Delhi has trusted anybody in Kashmir. So increasingly, either you need a partner, and preferably you need the partner to be dominated by you. Number two, all governments since 1947, all governments have whittled Kashmir's so-called autonomy, or what was the promise of autonomy. And every election until 1996, every election from 1951 to 1996, until 1996 was a fair election, was either rigged or managed. Managed means when you pre-decide what the outcome should be. So all elections were managed to achieve the desirable outcome. That's been the story of Kashmir until 1996. 1996 was the first fair election, and there's a history to that. 91 to 96, Narasimha Rao was in power. There was the new insurgency in Kashmir was at its peak. He fought it quite brutally. There was a great deal of pressure from global human rights organizations. So he used his own kind of samdam, dandbhed, and carrot and stick. And while he put down the insurgency, he also created a great deal of local democracy and allowed a fair election, which took place subsequently once he left. So that is the other thing. Number three, Congress only trusted a local government, either if it was somebody they could control from Delhi or somebody who shared power with them. Also, Congress only came to power in the state by hijacking the other party. So in 1963, 64, Congress hijacked the National Conference. So Ghulam Mohammad Sadiq defected from National Conference, took away a lot of his loyalists, became the Congress party, and became the Congress chief minister, prime minister. There is a complication there or a twist there that I will tell you about. But the fact is, that number one, Sheikh Abdullah became Prime Minister in 51. 53, he was dismissed by Nehru. 53, his number two, Bakshi Ghulam Muhammad, who was made to rebel, and he became Delhi's faithful. So he served as Kashmir's Prime Minister for 10 years, 53 to 63. The first leader of Kashmir to serve a full term. 63, he had to leave because of that unfortunate and very controversial incident of the theft or disappearance of the holy relic from the Hazratbal shrine. He resigned, and then Khwaja Shamsuddin was made Prime Minister for about 140 days. We don't know how that happened. Once again, smoke and mirrors. And that tenure ended, GM Sadiq broke away from the National Conference, became the Congress Party. So Congress Party's first government in Kashmir was not very different from how BJP's governments have been, say, in Manipur or in Arunachal Pradesh, or even in Assam to an extent, though not directly so much so. When you basically carry out a leveraged buyout of another party and convert it into your party. So GM Sadiq then served as Congress Party's leader in the state from 64 till 1971 when he died. And I told you that about Sadiq, there is a little twist. When he took over in 64, he was the Prime Minister of Kashmir, because that was the status of the state's leader. He was the Prime Minister. And then in May 65, he became Chief Minister. So Kashmir has a very interesting history. This is a state where just recently, effectively, a governor has become Lieutenant Governor, because, you know, Satyapal Malik is governor. But October 30, when Kashmir becomes a union territory, he or his level will be that of a Lieutenant Governor. He may or may not be there. Similarly, in 1965, a man who was earlier elected, appointed as Kashmir's prime minister, became chief minister. So I told you, every government in India's history whittled down Kashmir's autonomy and special status. So more than 50 years ago, 55 years ago, before the abrogation of Article 370, an Indian government, in this case Shastri's government, had reduced the prime minister of Kashmir to chief minister and Sadre Riyasat to governor. He served then for 8 years as Congress chief minister. He died. In his case, Syed Mir Qasim took over, also Congress chief minister. So for Congress, it was a leveraged buyout government. Congress had no base of its own, but it would not trust anybody else. And Sheikh Abdullah, meanwhile, was in jail. Once again, the War of 71 happened. Mrs. Gandhi felt more reassured. The Shimla Agreement happened. She signed a peace settlement with Sheikh Abdullah, who was released. He came back. He became the chief minister. Now, the same Sheikh Abdullah, who was prime minister 51 to 53, became chief minister in 75. He was again dismissed in 77. He again got re-elected in 77. Congress supported him, but from outside, that his became the first government then after after Bakshi Ghulam Mohammad to serve its full term, although with two chief ministers, because Sheikh Abdullah died before the last year of his tenure. So Farooq Abdullah then took over and completed that tenure. So that brings us to 1983. And that is when trouble begins again. Trouble begins again because Farooq gets elected again. Now Congress has stopped trusting Farooq, because Congress wants not just the trust, but they also want a share of the power. And because Congress is not getting it, Congress orchestrates a situation by 1984, and that's a story I covered as a reporter for India Today. Gets in cahoots with who else but Farooq's brother-in-law, G.M. Shah, or popularly known as Gul Shah, who then brings about a split in the NC. They bring down Farooq's government, and then Congress props up Gul Shah as the chief minister for some time. It doesn't last very long. It was an unsustainable arrangement. I still don't know why it was done. Was it done out of spite because Farooq irritated Rajiv about something or Indira about something? I don't know. But something happened whereby he was pulled down in 84, and Gul Shah was appointed, and then Gul Shah also fell. Before Gul Shah fell, remember the expression I used early on, smoke and mirrors. So nobody is a permanent enemy. Nobody is a permanent friend in Kashmir. So the same Farooq who the Congress had pulled down in 84 with the help of his brother-in-law, causing a division in the family, causing a division in the party, the Congress party now once again signed a settlement with Farooq, in the sense that Rajiv Gandhi and Farooq again built a coalition. And in 1987, they held a fresh election. Now, that is the election that was actively rigged. And why was it rigged? Because in that election, a group of local, new local parties came in. And these parties were united under the banner of MUF, or Muslim United Front. There was an impression that they will get 20 to 30 seats in a small assembly. Now, what is it that worried people? Just as Congress party had become possessive about or insecure about its hold or center's hold in Kashmir, the political forces that the Congress party had patronized all this while, they had also become very possessive of their space in the state. They wanted no competition. So in this case, Rajiv Gandhi's government and Farooq, they got together to rig that election. And in that election, most of the leaders of that MUF were defeated. And I shall tell you the names of some of those. One of those was a man called Muhammad Yusuf Shah, who was defeated. You know him right now with a different name. In fact, if I had mentioned his first name, you would have stood up immediately. So his name that you now know is Syed Salahuddin. He is the head of Hizbul Mujahideen, based in Pakistan, the most preeminent homegrown militant terror organization in Kashmir right now. His election manager was again a man you know very well. He was Yasin Malik, who later founded JKLF. Also, somebody who actually won in that election from Sopore and became an MLA was Syed Ali Shah Gilani, the famous Syed Ali Shah Gilani, the most prominent separatist leader today. So these were the people in that election. So imagine if this was a fair election and 20, 30 of them had got elected, they would perhaps have become part of the mainstream political activity in Kashmir. But that was not to be, because nobody in Delhi would accept such a thing. Now, see the history of Abdullahs and the story of Abdullahs, since Abdullahs are the focus today. Between the father and the son and the grandson, that is Sheikh Saab, Farooq Abdullah and Omar, they have ruled Kashmir for 30 years out of the history of 72. In these 30 years, they've had six chief ministerships, of which one will be called prime ministership the first time Sheikh Saab was there. So Sheikh Saab's been there thrice, Farooq's been there twice, Omar's been there for one full term. So 30 years they've ruled Kashmir. In those 30 years, they've been partners with both Congress and the BJP, in the state and the center. Who has been their rival for the time that they were not ruling? Either these were former NC members like GM Sadiq or Bakshi Ghulam Mohammed, who the Congress has taken away. So essentially Congress's allies, or this was the Mufti family, Mufti Mohammed Saeed and then his daughter. But once again, if you look at that family, that is the second dynasty that arose. They have also shared power with both Congress and the BJP in the state. In fact, they were so close at one point that PDP and Congress set up a coalition where they were to divide the chief ministership in 3 and 3 years. Remember, Kashmir Assembly used to be 6 years. So 3 years, Mufti Saab was chief minister. Then Ghulam Nabi Azad became chief minister. He was now a sui generis congressman to become chief minister. But that did not last very long. Mufti's party, PDP, pulled out support from that government. What was the excuse? The excuse was that the state government had allocated some land to Amarnath Shrine Board. Amarnath, as you know, is the holy temple of the Hindus. So once again, if you go even one step deeper, you will find that both these parties, the Abdullah family as well as the Mufti family, have also shared power whenever third front governments were there in Delhi. For example, Mufti Mohammed Saeed was actually the home minister in VP Singh's government. Then the state has had 10 years of governor's rule. Governors, and before that Sadr-e-Riyasat's rule, when the governor was kind of a special status, and Dr. Karan Singh had that status as the former Maharaja. So 10 years has been president's rule. The longest serving governor has been Jagmohan. And you know what? He also has a distinction of having dismissed Farooq Abdullah not once but twice as chief minister. So if you look at this entire mishmash, and once again, I know that this is cluttered. That's the reason I'm running a chronology and not repeating it for you. But this tells you how Kashmir has never had political stability. You've had Congress plus PDP, Congress plus NC, NC alone very briefly, Congress pulling out people from NC, Congress putting one more puppet from its own party, BJP doing something else, BJP now pulling out, BJP then combining with PDP in Kashmir, then pulling out support from PDP, then imposing president's rule yet again. So in this situation, remember, there are no permanent friends, no permanent enemies. Everybody has put everybody under detention, but everybody has gone to bed in a political sense, metaphorical sense, with everybody else. Nobody has ever been untouchable for anybody in Kashmir politics.